Bibles, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. For my folks over here in the left-hand corner, that's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 5, and that's right after number 4. Number 4. That's good. I'm going to read quite a few passages this morning. In verse number, let's see, maybe I ought to go back and read. No, I think just start verse number 21. Verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. It's in the book, fellas. There it is right there. It's been nice knowing you. We'll write you every week. Send you a little fan to use. It's amazing how God leads. I did not realize that I was going to read this passage this morning. There it is, right there. Now in verse number 47, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Look at verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said to them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven. It is God's throne. Look down to verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of that hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, for whatsoever shall smite thee on the right, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Look down to verse 43. Ye have heard it that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at verse number 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now I want you to notice that one little line, verse 47. What do ye more than others? What do ye more than others? Our Heavenly Father, we come now to this chapel hour, just another chapel amidst many hundreds of them, and yet we have to answer for every moment. So help us to so listen and so speak, that when we stand before Thee, our labor of love will be gold, silver, and precious stone, and not wood, hay, and stubble. Speak to our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Just a few days, 250 or 300 of you will be leaving to go out into the field of service. All over America, I see our graduates. I see those who fail, and I see those who succeed. Last night, I talked to some of our graduates who are doing great jobs as pastors, assistant pastors, educators, and so forth. I also talked last night to one of our graduates who's totally failed and out of the work of the Lord entirely, and only came to the service last night because he wanted to see me and shake my hand, but his life is totally wasted. Now, what's the difference? I looked last night, and I saw this young man whose life is wasted. As I was talking to him over his shoulder, I looked back in the back and saw one of our graduates who's doing a great job for God. This fellow to whom I was talking, the failure, was far better looking than the fellow back there who's a success. I thought about that. This fellow to whom I'm talking, who's a failure, had a far better personality than the fellow back in the back that I was watching over the other fellow's shoulder. This fellow to whom I was talking had a far bigger, stronger body than the fellow back in the back. What's the difference? Why does some succeed and some fail? Why do some flounder in mediocrity and some ascend to superiority? What's the difference? Ability? I think not. Intellect? I think not. Looks? I think not. Then what is the difference between these who succeed and these who fail? Our text. What do ye more than others? That's it. What's the difference in the Vince Lombardis and the coaches that have 500 records, win-loss records? What's the difference in the Don Shulas and the Tom Landrys and the also-ran coaches? What's the difference in the John Rices and the Lee Robertsons? Look, if John R. Rice were to rise from the dead today in his original body and walk in this door right here and stand and speak, those of you who had never heard him but have heard me speak so much of him and have read so much of him and by him, you would be disappointed. First place, you'd be disappointed in his looks. And I don't think you'd be pleased, or I think you'd be disappointed somewhat in his preaching. He wouldn't be as loud as you'd like to have somebody. He wouldn't be as humorous as you'd like to have somebody. Because what made John Rice, you don't see in chapel. It's not visible and seen by the human eye. He did more than others. I got to my room Monday night just in time to turn the television set on and see the last shot. That's all I saw, just the last shot. I saw this kid, Smart, sink the basket that won the game for Indiana. And I stood there and still had my coat and hat on, stood there and watched them cheer. And I watched especially Steve Alford because I admire Steve Alford. Reports I get, he's a born again young man. But I watched him. Steve Alford is not as fast as 90% of the guards in college today. Steve Alford is not as quick as 90% of the guards in college today. But Steve Alford, for the last 2 years, has made the first team All-American Associated Press basketball team. Why? Because he does more than others. He practices while others are sleeping. He's in the gym shooting while others are down at the drugstore drinking milkshakes. That's the difference. He does more than others. I decided years ago, when I was a young man, that no Mooney at Times Square was going to get more excited about his rot than I do about the truth that I have. I decided that no Hare Krishna at the airport would be more zealous than I. In fact, I was in Washington, D.C. airport one time, and I bought me some flowers, a dozen carnations. Took them around and tried to sell them to the Hare Krishna people. They've been trying to sell them to me for years. I said, it's my time to make a little cash here. But no Hare Krishna at the airport is going to be more zealous about his garbage than I am about the truth of the living Christ. I decided years ago that no communist at the factory door passing out filthy literature was going to be more excited about his garbage and filth and heresy and satanic doctrine than I would be about the truth of the Word of God. I decided years ago that no Jehovah Witness on a street corner would be more excited about his false teaching than I would about the true teaching of the Word of God. I decided years ago that no Jane Fonda on a platform would be more excited about her destruction of America and our way of life and the spreading of her dirty communist philosophies than I would be about the truth of God. I decided years ago that no Mormon with his tape recorder would holler any louder than I holler. I decided years ago that no Seventh-day Adventist with his satchel would be any more zealous to get out his garbage than I am to get out the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall he who believes in no hell be more zealous than those of us who believe in a burning, fiery hell? Shall he whose God is a river of crocodiles be more zealous about his God than we are about the true and the living God? Shall he who holds no hope of heaven be more zealous about his doctrine than those of us who are headed for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and ruler is God? Shall he who climbs the sacred stairs doing penance for his sin be more zealous about his service than those of us who redeemed with the grace of God and held the nail-scarred hands of Jesus himself? Shall he who publishes smut be more interested and zealous about publishing his smut than we are proclaiming the message of grace? Shall Madeline Murray O'Hare be more zealous than those who believe in Christ and know him as the living God? Shall those who publish and spread error, shall they be more zealous than those who publish and spread the truth? I decided years ago, I decided I was going to keep on until I fall over. I was going to keep on. I'll not rot. I said years ago, I will not rot. I'm 60 years old now, and I still don't plan to rot. I'm not going to rot. I may someday, while I'm preaching, I may have a pain in my chest. I got a pain in my neck already, but I may have a pain in my chest, and all of a sudden I may clasp my chest like this and fall over, and you come up and say the fool's gone. But I won't rot. I won't rot. I may someday have a stroke, and I may have to walk up over and bleep like this, but I'm not going to rot. I may someday lose my mind, and you may take me to the insane asylum, but you check in the waiting room of the insane asylum, I'll be preaching within 25 minutes, I'll guarantee you. I'm not going to rot. I don't relate to you people that want to be average. I don't relate to you folks that want to be normal. I don't comprehend you folks that just want to get enough demerits to stay in school. I don't understand that. I don't understand people that can get 3 demerits and not be sad about it. I don't understand that. I mean, I don't understand anybody who wouldn't be sad who got any demerits at all. Well, I'll do this. Only get 10 demerits, and I've only had 30 this year, and I'm okay. I don't understand that. I don't comprehend that at all. I don't understand you people because you got some cuts, just take off. I got some cuts coming, but you don't have to take them. Now, I want to tell you something. Some of you little rascals sitting here in the chapel this morning, you're not going to mount anything. You'd rather be outside class than in class. You won't amount to anything. You'd rather not learn than learn. You won't amount to anything. Let me tell you, out yonder, where the battle is for the strongest, it's for those who go the extra mile. It's for those who go beyond. It's for those who don't settle with being average. It's for those who say, I'll not be normal. It's for those who'll say, I'll not be the usual. It's for those who'll say, I'll not be mediocre. It's for those who say, I'll rise above the crowd. I'll do more praying than others. I'll do more working than others. I'll do more planning than others. I'll do more at all than others. I'll be awake more than others. I'll do more than others do. And that's the crowd that's going to go out of here and succeed someday, while some of you handsome, lazy devils are going to fall on your handsome face and bust your handsome nose, and I'm going to laugh at you while you do it. Some of these little old guys around here don't have that pretty puss and don't have that big physique. And some of these little gals around here don't have the nice wardrobe, have had to scrub floors to stay in school. I'll guarantee you they'll rise and shine one of these days above you people that just barely want to make it. Listen, if you make a B and could make an A, you're not right with God.
If you make a B and a C and couldn't make a B, you're not right with God. I ask you this morning, what do ye more than others? That will decide your success. That will determine for your goal. What do ye more than others? It's sad but true. But the senile man at the rest home wins as many souls as some of you. It's sad but true, but the mentally sick in the asylum has as many bus kids as some of you. It's sad but true, but Madeline Murray O'Hare has as many converts baptized as some of you. It's sad but true, but Charles Manson has as much a growing a Sunday school class as some of you. It's sad but true, but Hugh Hefner wins as many souls as some of you. It's sad but true, but Fidel Castro will have as many folks in heaven as some of you. It's sad but true, but Gorbachev or Garbage Mouth, whichever one you want to call him, I prefer Garbage Mouth, he has as many converts as some of you. Angela Davis will have as many folks in heaven as some of you. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you just want to get by. You just want to pass. Every time I hear anybody say, well, I'm off today because I had some cuts coming, I say, he won't amount to much. No, he won't amount to much. No, no. Fellow that doesn't hunger and thirst after truth, he won't amount to much. No, he won't amount to much. Fellow says, well, I had a good year, only got 35 demerits. You won't amount to much. You ought to not be pleased when you get one demerit. And your goal ought to be not to get any demerits at all. Now, you can get through life and you can eat three meals a day. But in case anybody here wants to rise above the pack, you're going to have to do more than others do. I decided a long time ago. I don't have the vocabulary of an R.G. Lee. I don't have the intellect of a Bob Jones Jr. I don't have the dynamic appearance or of a Lee Robertson. But I guarantee you one thing. I have as many hours a day as R.G. Lee did. I can work as hard as Lee Robertson can. I can stay awake as many hours and sweat as much and toil as much as Bob Jones Jr. can. And I found one day that it's not the intellect, and it's not the oratorical ability, and it's not the good-looking appearance. It is the fellow who says, by God's grace, I'll do more than others do. That's the fellow gets the job done. That's why I pastor a church. I got a high school, started a junior high school, started a grade school, started a bus kid high school. That's why I've written 36 books, over $10 million copies have been sold. That's why I started a college. That's why we have camps. That's why we started a cemetery, and that's why we have a mausoleum, and that's why we have why I travel and preach a thousand sermons a year. And that's why we have the Spanish church, and that's why we started the deaf ministry, and that's why we have a pastor school, and that's why I write poetry, and that's why once in a while I'll even write a song, and that's why we just keep on going. Why? I decided I was going to do more than others. I'm not going to be normal. If you want to, go ahead, but you won't contribute much to your society. Oh, you can take your time off and have your fun and work your 8 hours a day, but I want to tell you something. If that's all you want to do, you came to the wrong college. This is not a college. This is an army. These are not dormitories. These are barracks. Some young folks are going to leave here in a few weeks. I want to tell you, your degree of success, I don't mean to be unkind, and I realize that I don't have any names in mind, but I've had five men come by and see me recently, asking me about jobs that have been offered. And I've had more than five, but five of those men have asked me if they should take the job because they didn't feel like the job paid them enough money. You won't amount to much with that philosophy. No, sir. No, sir. You won't amount to much. You may have to starve to do the job. You may have to live in a one-room shack to do the job. You may have to ride a bicycle to do the job. You may have to wear hand-me-downs to do the job. Don't be concerned how much you're going to get. Be concerned how much you're going to give. I don't know how you missed it here. I don't know how you missed it. How can you go here 4 years and come in and say, I'm afraid I'm not getting enough money? You missed the whole idea. It's not what get you more than others, but what do you more than others? There are four things in this chapter about more than others.
We read the scriptures a while ago, and at least four things. One thing that we won't go back and read the scriptures each time, but one thing that our Savior says here is we're supposed to do more than others in service. He talks about the second mile. We're supposed to serve more than others. You know the story. R.G. Lee, most amazing pulpiteer, I guess, who's ever lived. Probably would share the position of the greatest orator in the history of our nation with William Jennings Bryan and possibly Douglas MacArthur. 90 years of age, preaching in Garland, Texas, preaching at 7 o'clock that night on his famous sermon, Payday Someday. Went down to get a bite to eat. Went back up to his room while he was on the elevator. Three black men mugged him, gashed across his head, concussion of the brain. The old 90-year-old warrior went to the hospital. They examined him and said, Dr. Lee, you have a concussion. We don't know what else. We'll have to keep you overnight for observation. Old Dr. Lee said in his southern drawl, sir, I'm preaching Payday Someday tonight at Lavandra Baptist Church. They said, Dr. Lee, you might be bad sick. You can't leave here. He said, sir, if I'm bad sick now, I'll still be bad sick after I preach Payday Someday tonight at Lavandra Baptist Church. They gave him 9 stitches, I think, in his head and told him he had a concussion. And they said, you're crazy to preach tonight. You're crazy. He said, I'm sure, sir, if I'm crazy now, I'll still be crazy tomorrow morning after I preach Payday Someday. R.G. Lee's greatness is not in his figures of speech. R.G. Lee's greatness was not found in his eloquence. R.G. Lee's greatness was found in this. He said, I'll go the second mile. I'll go beyond what others do. Others will stay in the hospital. I'll go preach. That night for an hour and a half, he preached Payday Someday, 90 years of age. Concussion of the brain. Did not know if he was seriously injured or not. Why? Because he said, I want to do more than others do. I was walking down the concourse at O'Hara Field years ago, back when O'Hara Field was not very big. Didn't have any of the big terminals they have now. In fact, Midway Airport at that time was the biggest airport in the world, and O'Hara Field was a small airport. And I was walking down the concourse, and as I walked down, I looked at my watch, and I was late, so I started running. Had a bag in each hand, started running. Looked up beside me, and a fellow beside me was running, but running too. I had a suitcase in one hand, briefcase in the other, running down a concourse, and this guy said, hey, neighbor, are you late for the plane? I said, no. I just come out here every day with a suitcase in one hand, a briefcase in the other, and jog up and down the hallway. He said, that's funny. I said, what you said wasn't funny. He said, what are you? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm going to preach in Dallas, Texas, tonight and tomorrow night. I said, who are you? He said, I'm George Allen, assistant football coach of Chicago Bears. Later became coach of the Washington Redskins, went to the Super Bowl, became coach of the Los Angeles Rams, and has probably the best record, win and loss record, of any football coach in history. I would not be surprised. And so we ran together. He was going there, so he was running, I was running. And we got the airplane. He sat up in the first class section. I sat back in the poor folks section. We got up in the air. The curtain opened. When the seatbelt sign came off, the curtain opened. Through that curtain came George Allen. He was looking for me. He didn't recognize me because we're going like that, you know, while we're running. And he didn't. He stopped the first man on the first seat. And he said, are you a Baptist preacher? How would you feel? I'm sure the fellow said, no, I just have a sour stomach. That's why I look like this. He said, he went across the aisle and asked the three fellows across the aisle, are you a Baptist preacher? Are you a Baptist preacher? Are you a Baptist preacher? I was in row 17 because you can smoke back there. And I was back in row 17. He stopped at row 5, 6, 7. And he asked every man, and the plane was almost full. Yes, every man on that plane before row 17, are you a Baptist preacher? 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 You say, well, did you hear him? Yeah, I heard him. Why didn't you holler up and say, I'm the fella?
because I was enjoying the free publicity Baptist preachers were getting on that airplane. He came back to me. He said, "You a Baptist preacher?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Are you the fellow? Ran down the hall, concourse me a while ago?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Did you hear me up at the front asking everybody if they're Baptist preachers?" I said, "Yes, I did." Well, he said, "Why didn't you tell me you're the one?" I said, "You didn't ask me." I was sitting next to the window. There's an empty seat in the middle. Somebody's sitting over next to the aisle. He came in the middle seat. He said, "You got to help me. You got to help me." And I said, "Be glad to help you if I can. What can I do?" He said, "I'm going to Waco, Texas to recruit a football player, the best football player in Texas right now, named Ronnie Bull." Reminds me of something you're full of over here. But name Ronnie Bull. He said, "Ronnie Bull's the best running back in the Southwest Conference, and we've got to have him on Chicago Bears." He said, "Tonight," he called me Jack. He said, "Tonight, Jack, you're going with me. We're going to recruit Ronnie Bull, because Ronnie Bull's a Baptist. And you've got to tell Ronnie Bull to come play for the Bears, because he thinks everybody in Chicago is Catholic. And you tell him you got a Baptist church up there, he'll come to Chicago and play for the Bears." Or was his name Bear, playing for the Bulls? But anyway, he said, you got to help me get Ronnie Bull." I said, "Sir, I'm preaching tonight at Galilean Baptist Church." "Oh, no," he said, "you're not now." He said, "You're not now." He said, "This is more important." I said, "What in the world are you talking about? You tell me that getting a Bull to come to Chicago more important than preaching Galilean Baptist Church?" He said, "That's right." I said, "No way, Jose, no way." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "If Ronnie Bull comes to Chicago and becomes a great football player, he'll get up on television in Chicago and tell everybody he's saved. And he said, everybody in Chicago will get saved." He pointed his bony finger in my face and he said, "If Chicago dies and goes to hell, Reverend, it's going to be your fault." I won't tell all the story, but I got the idea why George Allen was the best coach that's ever lived. Yeah, he did more than others. He said, "I'll give it all I've got. Everything I can do, I'm going to get Ronnie Bull. I'm going to recruit the fella. I'll use this Baptist preacher. I'll do all I can do." And that's the difference. It's not looks. It's not talent. It's not intellect. It's doing more than others do in service. Second thing you find in this chapter here is the Lord says, do more than others in purity. He said, "It has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery." And I'll be quite frank with you. I can't comprehend how anybody could come to Howells Anderson College and walk in these classes and walk down these halls and sit in these chapels and be impure. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. Every time we in the committee find somebody has done something that is impure, I'm startled. I'm stunned. I can't believe it. And brother, if you can't be pure here, you'll never be pure. I mean, you come to Howells Anderson College and you hear preaching like this and the preaching that's in this chapel from behind this pulpit week after week and month after month, and you can't be clean here and you can't be pure here, you'll end up one of these days being a sex pervert or something. Jesus says, do more than others in service. Then he says, do more than others in purity. Now you listen to me. Every single young person in this room, now if you've already committed some sin, God's forgiven you, I'll guarantee you God will forgive. And I'm not criticizing you. Can't do a thing about the past, but I'll guarantee you, every young person in this room who's virgin, when you walk that aisle and you young man, when you extend that arm to that young lady, you ought to look at her and you ought to say to her, "I'm clean. I've saved myself for you. This arm hadn't hugged every old hussy on the campus." If you're the one that's huggable, that's what I'm calling you right now. I don't like the word hussy. Don't ever use it. I happen to think it's descriptive. You ought to give her an arm that is strong and pure and clean. And tell her, I've saved and waited for you, and I've saved myself for you, and I'm yours and nobody else's. Jesus said, it hath been said, no adultery, but I say unto you, a clean mind. It hath been said, no adultery, I say unto you, no dirty movies. It hath been said, no adultery, I say unto you, no dirty magazines. It hath been said, no adultery, I say unto you, modest clothing. It hath been said, no adultery, I say unto you, no kissing. It hath been said, no adultery, I say unto you, no embracing. Why? Because those things cause you to have lust in your heart, in your mind. And Jesus said, I say unto you, do more than what the Old Testament said. Do more what the law says. Not only be clean as far as your actions are concerned, be clean as far as your mind is concerned. What do ye more than others? Then he goes to another point. And he says, not only should you do more than others in the matter of service, and do more than others in the matter of purity. He says, do more than others in the matter of love. Let me go back a second. The reason we don't let you lay around this campus side by side on the grounds is not to keep you from adultery. We're trying to keep you from thinking bad thoughts. We're trying to keep you from lust. Somebody, well, I just don't like the rules of Howells Anderson College. Well, we're trying. You better thank God for them. What do ye more than others in love? That means this campus ought to be the hardest working campus in America, because we do more than others, more than other colleges. That means this campus ought to be the friendliest campus in America, because we do more than other colleges do. That means this campus ought to be the cleanest campus in America, purest campus in America. Why? Because we do more than others do. I'm not interested in having another Christian college or even another fundamental Christian college. I'm interested in having the most unique Christian college in America. I'm interested in rising above every fundamental Baptist college or fundamental college in America. I'm interested in rising above them in our service for God, above them in our soul winning, above them in our decency, above them in our love, above them in our service for God, above them in our purity. Do more than others. Yeah, but everybody else is doing it. I know. We don't want to do what everybody else is doing. We want to do more than everybody else. In love. I decided years ago, along with my fundamental position, I decided that nobody was going to love the brethren more than I was. I got a report one day that Dr. Bob Jones Jr. had been critical of me. I found out it wasn't true. I found out that it was only a rumor. It was not true. But I called him on the phone. And I said, Dr. Bob, I don't believe what I've heard. But I've heard you said some things about me that are critical. I just want to tell you that if you want to fight, you won't find it with me. Because I won't fight you. I won't love you. He said, Dr. Hiles, I've never said anything like that about you. And I said, I believe you. I believed it before you said it. But I just wanted to tell you that I love you, and you got a friend with me no matter what you do. You hit me, but you got a friend. You can slap me, but you've got a friend. You can curse me, but you've got a friend. Jesus said, love those that love you and hate those that hate you. But I say unto you, love those that hate you. I was chosen on a committee. I'll give you some of the names on the committee. Dr. Bill Dowell, Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bob Jones Jr., Dr. Monroe Parker, and others. 10 men on a committee. We're going to have a big nationwide conference on evangelism. So this has been probably, 12, 15 years ago. We had our first meeting in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, decided to have the second meeting in Panama City, Florida. I went to Panama City, Florida for that meeting, walked in the meeting. Dr. Bill Dowell was the moderator.
that time he was president of Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. 9 of the 10 were there. And so when they called the roll of a fellow, and he wasn't there. And one of the men said, "Didn't expect him to come. He's got a bad spirit anyway." Other one said, "That's what I believe about him." And I got up and walked toward the door. And Dr. Dowell said, "Dr. Howes, where are you going?" I said, "Back to Hammond. I can hear gossip in Hammond. I don't have to fly to Panama City to hear gossip. I can hear it in Hammond. I'm not going to sit here and listen to it. I happen to love the brother. Don't think he's perfect. The only one on this committee that's perfect is the one that's talking right now." I didn't say that. But I said, "He's not perfect, but I love him." And I said, "I'm not going to listen to him criticize or any of you criticize when you don't show up for a meeting either." And Dr. Dowell said, "You're right. And we're wrong. And to his everlasting credit and the everlasting credit of the whole crowd, we got on our knees and had a prayer meeting." No college in America ought to have more love than Howes Anderson College. More than others. More than others. Time is gone. There's a fourth thing. I'll give it to you quickly in this chapter. Jesus said, "What do ye more than others?" What do ye more than others? You study more than others? On the job, you work harder than others? You fellows that are going to take the job McCormick Place, will it be obvious to those people there that you work harder than anybody else on the job? Will you be different? You folks that travel for us this summer, you're not just another traveling group. You're supposed to do more than others. More than the other groups that travel. Why? You're from Howes Anderson College, the More Than Others University. More Than Others College. We're supposed to give, it says here, more than others. This college is built on that. You've heard me say this before, but one day I held in those hands right there 117 wedding bands had been taken off the fingers of First Baptist Church people. We didn't have a lot of college folks here then. 117 wedding bands, almost all of them were from ladies, diamond wedding bands, who had taken their wedding bands off and placed them in the offering plate. And I held in my hands 117 wedding bands. And you married ladies know what a wedding band means to you. And they put those wedding bands in the offering plate. And we sold all those wedding bands so we could buy this property right here. That's the way this school was started. I decided one day years ago that I could not be as smart as others, but I could work harder than others. And I do. And I decided that I could not be as intelligent as others, but I could be purer than others. And I decided that I could not be as dynamic as others, or maybe as handsome and fair of face and form as others, but I could love more than others. And I could give more than others. All across the country, we see our graduates. Driving to the airport this morning, Pastor Ouellette was talking about one of his assistant pastors who went to school here. I said, "How's it doing?" He said, "It's the hardest working fellow I ever saw." Yeah. Every time there's something to be done in the church, he says, "I'd like to do that." Every time there's a need, "I'd like to do it." He said, while others are home, he's still working. That's what makes success. Not your winning personality. Not your beautiful smile. Not even your handsome physique. Or your lovely figure. Or your deep intellectual mind. The difference in the also-rans and those who rise to the top is in one little sentence. They'll do more than others. Get out of here and do it. Get out of here and do it. But you won't all of a sudden start doing it when you get that diploma. In case you'd like to be successful, you sit back there in chapel this morning and wiggle a little bit and get all stirred up a little bit and say, by the grace of God, I am not going to live in this world and be a normal, average, typical human being. Feed my face and clothe my body and have my fun and work what I've got to work in order to finance the fun, the food, and the frolic. I'll not do it. By God's grace, I'll rise above the pack and I'll do more than others do. Thank you.